dissident protesters lashed out at the end of the Trudell parade standoff at the weekend, verbally abusing a priest and threatening a newspaper reporter. Around 40 members of GARC, the Greater Ardoyne Residents Collective, led by dissident Republican Dee Fennell, gathered to protest at the Lagany Lorings Lodges completed their return leg of the controversial parade. Father Gary Donegan was targeted by verbal abuse.
See me in your leave. I'll still be living here.
They've been kids in the NDS community. I know where you were standing with the people that was kids in the men. The people that was kids in the men. And you're a
You should be ashamed of yourself, so you should.
You're not wanted here.
You should be ashamed.
Shame on you.
Could the people of Brompton Park get to your chapel this morning? No. So would have faxed him. So see this entire area, the overwhelming majority, they're opposed to the parades, they're opposed to these people that facilitate them, and they're opposed to the parades commission decision. And see you, you say that we all them people, and you say it against the people of this area.
The Sunday Life reporter Christopher Woodhouse was threatened.
Please be ashamed of yourself. People are being assaulted. Women with problems never hang being assaulted.
You're near my man's shop. You attack my family. I'm coming after you. I mean it. I'm watching you. I'm coming after you.
Shame yourself.
You watch yourself coming into frames. You're coming out of frames after every drink. You'll have a bad fall one night. I'm coming after you.
Chris Woodhouse, the reporter for the Sunday Life, is with me this morning. Pretty strong language there towards you. I'm coming after you, that individual who is unnamed, Chris said.
Good morning, Stephen. It was fairly hot and heavy as he issued his threats to me. Of course, one must sort of stand your ground, even though you do feel rather intimidated by it, given his language and what his intent seems to be.
What was the atmosphere like up there?
It was fairly tense when GARC supporters were surrounding Father Gary. All of this happened at around the same time as Father Gary was getting heckled and harangued by Dee Fennell, so it was all within a couple of yards of each other. So it was a very, very tense atmosphere, very charged, so you could say.
Well, Dee Fennell would say, of course, that he's entitled in any democracy to put his strong views across, and he may or may not disassociate himself from others who used even stronger language.
No, I have to say, I should make clear on this point that the reason that man was haranguing me was to do with a story Sunday Life ran a month ago on our front page regarding a shop his mother was running that was selling cigarettes illegally. He's not actually having a go at me with regards any of the events of that morning. He used it as a cover to single me out for his own personal agenda.
Yeah, and that man we're not naming this morning. Brian Rowan's with us today, the journalist. What's your take on where this is at the moment, Brian?
Wider negotiation and agreement, Stephen, is that what you want to talk to me about?
Yes.
Well, I heard Geoffrey Donaldson speak on the Sunday Politics program yesterday, pointing to the significance of Saturday, that the agreements reached locally in that local dialogue were honoured. We know the situation in North Belfast over a period of several years now. That parade had been marching on the spot since the Parades Commission decision of 2013. To stop it from short of its end point, so it was going nowhere without local agreement, and I suppose that realization became part of the impetus for this dialogue that brought Saturday's package of agreements, the completion of the July 12, 2013 parade, albeit in the morning rather than an evening return, a moratorium now on return parades unless future agreement can be achieved in dialogue within a community forum, the end of the Trudell protest camp, and no opposition now to the annual morning parades by the Loyal Orders from one of the nationalist residence groups in that area, CARA, the Crumlin and Ardoyne Residents Association. So significant steps forward, Stephen, at the weekend, but with work still to be done.
And what do you make, Brian, of some of the more hostile, some would describe it as sinister atmosphere that there was?
Well, people such as Father Gary Dunnigan and Jerry Kelly, confronting them on Saturday, where Stephen plays in front of a camera, and they will change nothing. And Gary Dunnigan and Jerry Kelly know these situations, know the predictability of all of that. Of course, they're unpleasant when they're happening, but they know how to deal with them, and they've been doing that in quiet words since. But there is another challenge here. This isn't just about Jerry Kelly and Gary Dunnigan and GARC protests. If the nationalist Republican community supports this deal, then it has to be heard above the heckling and the name-calling of Saturday. Sinn Féin stayed away on Friday night and Saturday morning, apart from Jerry Kelly doing some media. The reason for staying away was to allow the agreements arrived at locally and the determinations of the Parades Commission to be policed with no distractions. And it was the right thing to do. But in terms of going forward, you know, there was a huge policing operation in North Belfast. I was there on Friday evening, again there on Saturday. Are those policing operations going to be needed forever and a day, or is there some other way through dialogue and building understanding of turning, I suppose, what we could call contested ground, Stephen, into something more like shared space?
Okay. Brian, thank you. Padraig McCutcher is a member of Errigate, McCutcher, not a member of GARC or speaking on their behalf. Padraig, good morning to you.
Hello, Stephen. It's McCutcher. Yes.
McCutcher, my fault, sorry.
No problem.
Tell me this, Padraig. Do you think Father Dunnigan was treated well up there? Do you think he was treated properly?
Well, when I was talking to one of your colleagues, Tommy, this morning, the point that I was making about Gary Dunnigan was that, in my opinion, and I've only seen one video of it, when Dee Fennell, who's one of the spokespeople for GARC, when he challenged him, in my opinion, this is just my opinion, I don't think that he was in any way insulting, intimidating towards Gary Dunnigan. Now, Gary Dunnigan himself may have felt that, and listened to the clip before I come on here, listening to people shouting and shame, shame, shame. The whole thing has to be put in context, and that Gary Dunnigan has been, I don't know if the term is parish priest, but he's been a priest in that parish for a number of years, and he has consistently sided with Sinn Féin and with CARA. And people in GARC and other people who aren't even associated with Ayler asked him to speak to them.
Well, he's not siding with them. He wants to see resolution, Padraig, doesn't he? That's kind of what mature people do. They look at a situation which is causing trouble, which is causing unrest, which is causing discomfort, and they seek to compromise and they seek to find resolution.
And he's entitled to that. And no one is saying that because we all want to see a resolution to the Orange Parades. I, for one, although I'm not living in Ardoyne, I've been going over there this past 20 years or more. When I was a member of Sinn Féin, when we were more or less told to go over there, Gavahi Road, Springfield Road, Ormer Road, and other places. And we always wanted a resolution to the Orange Parades. Orange Parades were not welcome. And GARC has been consistent in this as well. And when they have the majority of people on their side, that doesn't always manifest itself by people coming out on the street, but they have done survey.
Well, why wouldn't people come out onto the street?
Sorry?
You only had a handful of people up there. GARC only had a handful of people up there.
Stephen, we have seen, if we take as far back as the late 1990s, when, for instance, on the Ormer Road, when I was there with members of Sinn Féin, elected members of Sinn Féin, and we were sitting on the road, very, very few local people came out for one reason or another. I have been going over the Ardoyne for years, both as a member of Sinn Féin and obviously subsequently when I'm not a member. And it has been the case when very few people do come out on the street for whatever reason. That is up to them. But the point is, whether it be 10 people or 1,000 people protesting, there are people who are opposed to that march. And I am, I'm opposed to it as well. I was there on the Friday night when we walked through Ardoyne. There wasn't even a hint of trouble. The only trouble that seemed to be coming from anyone, it was coming from the PSNI, who were stopping and searching people who were coming to the area. Some people who weren't even going over there to the parade. And as we walked around the streets of Ardoyne, there was no intimidation handed out to anyone, only some people in Sinn Féin claimed. It was a very dignified march. It stopped at the top of Balholm, the junction of Balholm and Astoriel Park, and a statement was read out, and we were all asked to disperse, and we've done it peacefully.
Okay, Brian Rowan?
Well, Stephen, I wrote a piece on the EamonMalley.com website on Saturday after being in Ardoyne on Friday and Saturday, and I made the argument that I think that GARC should be included in these dialogues that are about trying to achieve local agreements and building on local agreements. When you leave people outside the dialogue, you leave them with an excuse and something to play with and play on. Now, I'm not for 1 minute suggesting that GARC should enter any dialogue with a veto, you know, our way or no way in terms of a final say. I'm not suggesting that at all. In the piece I wrote, I made the point that a negotiation is not about any side taking everything and leaving the other side with nothing. That just doesn't work. So inside a dialogue, the GARC position of no orange feet, up or down the road, excludes itself, if you like, Stephen, from any viable outcome to a negotiation and to a discussion, particularly in a place where the two communities live cheek by jowl.
Well, Father Gary Donegan is joining us now. Did you feel intimidated, Father Donegan, with those people around you?
Yeah, well, I mean, it wasn't a very pleasant experience, Stephen. It reminded me, it threw me back to 2001 when my predecessor, Father Aidan Troy, and I walked a gauntlet with those children every morning. And in some sense, I could understand that because of obviously the sectarian divide. But this was actually people that I knew, people that I had been involved in pastoral situations with, and it really was, you know, very bitter and vitriolic. And the irony was that I've advocated that their right to protest. I mean, I might have a different view to them, but they were actually contradicting themselves, because at the end of the day, here was I. I'd stood up that road for 2.5 years. I didn't see too many of the nights that I was there, including my 50th birthday. Many nights I actually stood on my own or with a colleague, Brian. And one of the reasons was to prevent children and people getting custodial sentences and to keep the peace in the area. The other thing was that, I mean, I've stood always for the right of either side of the community to protest, but to do it with dignity and decorum, not the kind of situation that you find yourself in, because one of their things was their right to protest, their right to have a voice. Well, why not have a right to a voice? Would you surround one individual, a cleric, for example? You know, would anybody treat like a Muslim cleric or a Jewish rabbi or any Christian minister like that, to surround them to try and kind of shout you down and in such an intimidating way? And the language and the stuff that's actually used now, you know, it's not like I'm some sort of a shrinking violet, otherwise I would have tailed it out of there, but no one's ever going to cower me, and they know that. But the door has been open to them. I mean, I've facilitated meetings with them and Megan O'Sullivan during the Haas talks. And they, you know, at the end of the day is, I mean, we must, in a democratic society, have the right to have a say. I was supporting a group of people who are most affected. That's not to say the rest of the people are not affected, but these are the people who actually live on the Crumlin Road, on the Ardoyne Road, and on the Dales. They are the ones that are actually most affected. So, in fact, they were the ones who were skinny saying they were going with this deal, and I was going, well, I support you.
Let's let Padraig respond to that, Father.
Yes, Gary, with all due respect to you, you are a person, the same as I am, who just happened to be a Catholic cleric. You have been making political statements over the past number of years, which you are as entitled to as much as I am. And if you take a stance, no matter what that stance may be, and in this particular case, it is a stance that I fundamentally disagree with in regards to the Orange Order walking up or down the Crumlin Road past Ardoyne Chess. Once you put yourself there, Gary, you are putting yourself up for criticism, no matter what that criticism may be. And I think that it shouldn't be the case, whether, as you say, whether you be a rabbi, a Muslim person, or in your case, obviously, a Catholic priest. Once you put yourself up there, and you are as entitled to be criticised the same as me or anyone else. And I think that when I have seen you over there, I go over every 12th of July, and this 12th of July when I saw you walking up past us protesting, I nodded to you, and you nodded back, and there was nobody said anything to you, even though I disagreed with you. I didn't want to challenge you at that time because although I disagreed with you, because the protest was on, and I didn't want to be distracted from what the protest was. But I think that for you as a person, and who happen to be a Catholic priest, if you make a political statement, no matter what that political statement may be, whether it be about Orange Marches, whether it be about the environment, and if people disagree with you, they're entitled to disagree.
Yeah, but it's how they disagree. You don't disagree with someone by surrounding them and intimidating them, do you?
Of course not. No, I have always argued that people shouldn't feel intimidated. If Gary felt intimidated, there's absolutely nothing I can do about that there. If that's how Gary felt...
Do you want to respond to that, Father?
Father, I welcome what you're actually saying, and I totally, saying that you have your right to actually say mine might be different. I mean, but it's not like as if, you know, I'm Dougalette of Father Ted. I know exactly the history of the place. I know that place lost the equivalent of, in LA, of 50,000 people, 4.2 million in America, if you were to put it in a context. Yeah. So I know the situation, and Patrick, if you or anybody wants, I mean, to sit down, grab a cup of coffee, you tell me exactly what you have to say, and I mean,
okay.
There's no way that I would have turned with a group of people on one individual person and treated them like that. I mean, my record stands there. I put my life on the line for the kids in 2001. I've climbed the towers after young people who've taken their lives. I've been there. I've done it. I mean, and at the end of the day is I was proud to serve there. I mean, I moved to Crossgar as a base now, so I won't be involved in funerals, baptisms, weddings, the normal thing. But I'll be there each and every day.
Okay.
Still advocating.
Gary, okay, we're
Gary, peace and
reconciliation. Very, very quickly, Padraig.
Yes, Gary, I was there in 2001, and I saw the abuse that you got, the abuse from Lawrence protesters. And it was despicable what you went through, as well as the school kids and all their parents went through.
Well, now he's getting it from Republican protesters.
Sorry?
Now he's getting it from Republican protesters.
Even Gary, there was no comparison whatsoever. When I was walking up a few times from the top of Alliance Avenue up the Holy Cross School, and I was standing alongside Gary, and at the old time, Father Troy was there.
Okay.
The abuse that he got, the photographs that were shown, and it was called Everything Under the Sun, which, even for, as he was saying earlier, I'm no shrinking Balladella. I was that angry. We had to stop.
Okay, we've got to leave it there. Padraig, thank you, Father Donegan. Thank you, Chris Woodhouse. Before you go this morning, the police have told us, in terms of what happened to you, the police told us we received a report of threatening behaviour on Saturday morning. Inquiries into the matter are ongoing. Have you spoken to the police, Chris? Have you made a complaint?
Yes, the police came to the Sunday Live offices on Saturday afternoon after the incident happened, and I gave a statement and passed them our video footage of the incident.
Okay, so you've made a complaint to the police. Chris Woodhouse, thank you,
thank you
very much. Right, you've been responding to the interview we did with DP's Gregory Campbell this morning. I was trying to ascertain how much thinking the DUP have done around some of the warnings that were given in this report that the DUP co-commissioned as to the impact of leaving Europe on Northern Ireland. Robert in Coleraine. Morning, Robert.
Good morning.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yeah, I thought that you handled it very well. I think they had Gregory on the defensive because whenever you emphasised that the document was kept concealed to the public, he got around it by saying, well, sure, there was one issued by the Westminster government, and they didn't conceal theirs, and what difference did it make? Nothing. None of the things he predicted had happened. You quite rightly said, but that's because we're still in the EU. So how do we know whether it's going to happen until we're out of the EU? So
well, this is a point I would make, that lots of people who are for the pro-leaving the EU, leaving the EU, would say, oh, the doomsday stuff didn't happen. We haven't left the EU yet.
Now, the
counter to that is that financial markets are quite good at speculating as to what will happen, and there hasn't been the meltdown that some people predicted even after the referendum result.
You said the argument that they might affect the financial markets, the stock market. I think you said yourself, they fluctuate all the time. Anyway, they're volatile. You can't be sure one way or the other what way they're going to go anyway.
Okay. Robert, thank you. Sean and Enniskillen. Morning, Sean.
Good morning, Stephen. Listen, I think maybe Monday was Gregory's problem. He referred to Hungary. The Hungary referendum cannot be made law, it cannot be put into action because not enough people voted. So it's illegal. He talked about the budgets and the previous warnings from the previous Chancellor. Well, has he listened to the news this morning or has he been abroad? Because the Chancellor has just said, and he's repeated it on the news two or three times, that the whole budgetary system has to be reviewed. The financial structures of the UK are going to be in trauma, and it has to ensure that there's enough finance available to protect businesses and commerce.
Okay, Sean, thank you. John in Belfast. Morning, John.
Hello, Stephen. It's about Ardoin.
Quickly, 1 minute.
What position is GART going to have next year with the Parades Commission when they say they're bringing thousands of people on the streets to protest on the 12th morning? Are they going to ignore it?
Well, what do you think?
Nope. So, Sinn Féin and Cara say they're not welcome in any of their meetings, so GART is going to go to the Parades Commission next year and say they're bringing thousands of people onto the streets and they'll bust them in like they do every year.
John, thank you.